Hello and welcome to Living Hope. This is Pastor Staten, and I want to welcome everybody that is joining us today. A shout out to our e-family, all of you that are joining us through the internet. I want to remind you every Sunday morning you can join us live at tv.livinghopemd.com. I pray that today's message blesses you and that you enjoy the word as it is shared today.
I'm so lost to be found, and I know it's in my mind.
Just to spend some focused time. We had a great service Sunday. Amen. There was great. In fact, maybe, I don't know the last time we lingered as a church the way that we did Sunday. Amen. There was a sweet presence of the Lord and great things were done here. I don't know that you can quantify all the things that God did. I don't even know all that God did, but you can just feel that deep ministering. Elements 3 is dismissed. All right. Sorry about that. I would just, as you know, as a minister, I think you can feel others of you may have felt it. This didn't have anything to do with response, but there was more of a challenge in preaching Sunday. Spiritual battle, I'll say it that. It wasn't with people, all right? There was more of a spiritual battle. Now, I think this, there's a lot of momentum right now in the church. We're seeing the numbers are growing, right? More people are coming. A lot of guests are coming. And not only coming, but coming back. And, you know, the enemy isn't going to sit back and just let that happen. He's going to try to stir things up. And that's going to start in the spirit. He's going to start trying to stir things up in the spirit realm. And so I want to ask those of you that will, between now and Sunday, just to spend some extra time in prayer for this coming Sunday. All right? Not just prayer, not just Lord bless Sunday. I'm spiritual warfare prayer. All right? Where we really tap in and we fight so that when we show up Sunday, the battle's already been fought. All right? There's a freedom for the word to go forth. Amen. Here's what I know. If I'm having to fight to deliver the word, I know that that people are having to fight to receive the word, all right? And so if we can pray and there be a looseness in the atmosphere where the word can go forth and it can be received, all right? That's what we want, right? Amen. That's what we want. We want people to hear and receive the word, all right? So how many of you are willing to commit and say, I'm going to spend some extra time in warfare, spiritual warfare prayer? And those of you that are already, maybe you've got a fasting day between now and then, I'm just asking you to add some focus to that fasting. God, let there be a freedom in this place on Sunday when we come in here. Amen. Don't let it be tense and tight. Let there be a freedom, both for the preaching and for the receiving of the word of God to go forth. Amen? Amen. All right, we're going to turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke 13. And I know this, we haven't seen Bishop for a couple weeks. He's been ministering. He was... last week ministered at a Amish conference in Indiana. I think that's that right. He said it was, I know he told me a little bit about it, said it was incredible. Had at least one get the Holy Ghost. Is that accurate? Several got the Holy Ghost. You don't have to really do much to the Amish when it comes to holiness and separation. They're kind of there. But you know, a lot of times, if you didn't know this, a lot of times Amish folks are not really deeply religious people. They're just very separated from society. They see the danger of just being secular in society realms. But I believe in God is already doing a great work, bringing revival to that community. Wouldn't it be awesome to see an Amish revival right here in Southern Maryland? Amen. Amen. We could get that new church built in no time. Hallelujah. Amen. It'd be sturdy, too. It ain't going nowhere. Amen. I'd lose my apple butter job, though. Somebody else would take that one. All right. Luke 13 and 6. Also good to have Brother Sister Wilson here tonight. Amen. Luke 13 and 6. Jesus spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. I'm going to read that again. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And the keeper, the dresser of the vineyard, answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also. Give me one more year till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Amen. Amen. Lord, let it alone this year also. Let me dig it and dung it. And then at the end of that year, if fruit is coming, that's good. If not, then all right, you can go ahead and cut it down. So I want to probably more teaching tonight than preaching, but I want to talk to us about being faced with fruitlessness. Amen. Being faced with fruitlessness. How many of you can relate to some area of your life, maybe seasons in your walk with God even, where you felt like there wasn't much fruit that was coming forth, maybe in relationships? All right, we're going to talk about what fruitlessness looks like, what it means, and then we're going to dig into this parable a little bit. All right, the Lord bless you. You can be seated. So first of all, what does it mean to be fruitful? What does it mean to be fruitful? Being fruitful was the first command and the first blessing that God placed on humanity. In Genesis 1 and 27, God created man in his own image. In his image, God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Amen. That was the first commandment God gave, and it was also the first blessing. How many of you have found that God's commandments, blessing, are found in God's commandments? Amen. The first, not only the first one, but many times, amen, God's commandments are linked to blessing. And so we're not just, when we fight God's commandments, we're not just fighting God's commandments. We're rejecting the benefits that come with the commandment. We're saying we don't want the blessing. And so it's just better off, just submit to what God is asking of you. All right, submit to what the Word of God is saying you should do, and you'll find that when you do that, God is going to bring blessing into your life. Amen? And so fruitfulness, being fruitful was the first command and the first blessing that we find in the Bible. Fruitfulness is when what is planted within is manifest without. All right, fruitfulness is growth. All right, when you put an apple seed in the ground, fruitfulness is when a tree grows and produces apples. All right, if that tree doesn't grow, it's not fruitful. If the tree grows but no apples appear on the tree, it's still not fruitful. All right, it's only when that apple tree, the seed that was planted, that whatever's in the DNA of that tree, when it's manifest outwardly, now you can say that tree is fruitful. And most of the time, I think 100% of the time, if you plant an apple seed in the ground, you're not going to get oranges that grow. I think human beings, we're the only ones that we plant stuff and different stuff grows, all right? But that's not the way God designed it. God designed it that what's planted in the ground, that in order for it to be fruitful, whatever was planted in the ground, whatever is planted internally, amen, there's going to be an outward manifestation of what has been planted internally, all right? So I would say it this way, fruitfulness in the kingdom and fruitfulness in our lives is when potential is manifest, right? We can live all of our lives with potential. That's not fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is when, yes, I've got potential, but it's manifest outwardly now that I'm doing something with that potential, all right? To me, the greatest shame is not that I didn't, you know, that maybe I didn't have, I know we talked about Sunday, even the parable of the steward that only had one talent. That's not the bad deal. The bad deal was he didn't do anything with it. All right, the bad deal is when you got all that potential and you don't do anything with it. Some of the most talented people in the kingdom are doing the least with that talent. All right, I got one baby to scream back at me. That's all I got. I'm thankful. Thank you. Was that Cassie Ray helping me? Thank you, Cassie. All right, but I hope I didn't embarrass you. I didn't mean nothing bad by that. All right, in the kingdom, all right, some of the most talented people aren't doing anything with it. I want to challenge us as a church. If you got talent and ability that God has given you, you need to do something with it. Amen. If you got an ability and you got a talent, you need to give that talent to the work of God. You need to invest that talent in the kingdom of God. Amen. I don't have to tell you how the end of that parable went when the master showed up and that guy wasn't doing anything with the talent. It didn't end well for him. All right. But it's not just about that. It's about, hey, you're better when you invest your talent, and the church is better when you invest your talent. Amen. I was watching a clip of Brother Josh Carson preaching, and I would try to preach the sermon over again, but it's too good not to share with you right now. He was talking about, and the temple, amen, during the temple when they were building Solomon's temple, that there was such a sacredness about the place where the temple was being built that they would cut the stones in a quarry that was far enough away that you could, where the temple was actually being built, you could not hear the sound of any instruments that were being used. They would go far enough away that you could not even hear the sound of the chisel or the hammer. And then they would carry those stones and they would place them at the temple. Now, obviously, they probably had some instruments to help them in that, but those, there was about, a 9-year period that they built the temple. So you've got, amen, Chi-Chi and some of you young men, if you're out there working in the quarry for 9 years, I mean, you guys, after 9 years, you'd be pretty stout. I'm not saying you're not right now. I'm not questioning your manhood. I'm just saying, after 9 years of carrying stone around, right, you'd have to get the tailor to let your jackets out a little bit because your muscles would be bulging, right? Right, jacked, I think, is how they say it in the world today. You would be, not from going to the gym. You would just be cut because you are working on the kingdom. Here's the deal. When you get involved in working on the kingdom, it's not just the kingdom that gets better. It's you that improves as well. Amen? When you bring your talent and your ability and you invest it in the kingdom, yes, the kingdom grows. But it's not just the kingdom that grows. You grow as well. Amen. So fruitfulness is when our potential is manifest. Probably some of the best singers in this church ain't even singing on Sunday. He's back there. All right, some of our most talented. Brother Barry, was that you? Brother Wagner. Sister Linda. All right, everybody's pointing each other out right now, all right? Okay, this is being put on the spot moment right now. If I was talking to your neighbor, point at them real quick. All right, Sister Linda, Sister Alma, all right. Sister Lawrence, brother, they're just, all right, they're fighting right now. Oh, Maddie, all right, I'm expecting to see, Sister Maddie, you looking right now? Okay, we got some names we're adding to the list. So it's when our potential is manifest. So then how do we become fruitful in the kingdom? John 15, verse number 1, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you bear fruit, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Amen. How are we fruitful in the kingdom? You got to get in the vine. You got to get attached, amen, to the vine. You got to get attached to Jesus Christ. Why is there no fruit of the Spirit evident in my life? Well, you got to get connected to the vine. Amen. You got to get connected to Jesus Christ. Your life has got to be anchored in him. You can't will the fruit of the Spirit into abundance in your life. Amen. You may get the world's definition of love, but you're not going to get true love loosed in your life until you get connected to the vine. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but the fruit of the Spirit will not be abundant in your life. You can't, again, these aren't principles you can go to a classroom and learn. They come by being connected. Amen. They come by being anchored to the vine. Philippians 2 and 13, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi and said, for it is God which worketh in you, amen, both to will and do his good pleasure. What is that? It's talking about fruit again. But the fruit is produced by God working in you. You can't produce kingdom fruit. Only God at work in you will produce kingdom fruit. So what does that mean? Well, you got to get anchored to him, and then you got to let him work through you. All right? If you don't give God an opportunity to work, there won't be any fruit. You've got to let God work. What does that mean? It means you've got to surrender. It means you got to submit. It means you got to obey. It means you got to yield yourself. Amen. Well, why didn't I feel anything on Sunday? Well, it's hard to feel anything when you're all clenched up. Right? You never raise. Why do we raise our hands? It's a sign of surrender. Right? That's why. Why do we sing? Why do we lift our voices? Those are all signs of submitting and letting God work through us. If you want God, if you want the fruit to be produced in your walk with God, then you've got to let God start working not just in you, but through you. Amen. So this principle of fruitfulness is a kingdom principle. It's a kingdom principle. Not only is fruitfulness a kingdom principle, but what God does with fruitlessness is a kingdom principle. We're going to talk about, but as we read in the first verse, when that husbandman, when that that landowner came into the vineyard and he saw that tree that wasn't bringing forth fruit, what did he say to the gardener? He said, cut it down. All right, I'm gonna give you scripture to show you that God, one of the things that I find in scripture that God hates the most is fruitlessness. All right, he doesn't have a lot of mercy for fruitlessness. There's an expectation that God has that what he created you to be, you're going to become that. He has that expectation. Just like you have the expectation that lawnmower you bought that was bought to cut grass, when you took it home and you pulled on that handle, or maybe now I think they got the electric ones, you push that button, whatever. All right, you expected to hear the cranking of an engine. If it didn't do that, you weren't like, oh, no big deal. I had $300, not a big deal. I'll just maybe tomorrow it will work. No, you were upset because you had an expectation, because this thing isn't doing what it was created to do. Amen. And so it is. God created you to do something, and he has an expectation that you're going to do what he created you to do. Amen. And when you don't do that, it's a kingdom principle. God said, if you're not producing, all right, bad things come. Now, how many of you know this is also a good productivity principle? We can take this kingdom principle and we can apply it to our lives as well. In other words, if there's things that I'm involved in that aren't being fruitful, all right, if I'm working on that job and I'm never getting a paycheck, all right, I'm working that job and every week the boss says, you know what, hey, we're a little bit behind in accounts receiving right now. We're going to have to catch up with you next month. Okay, maybe once, maybe twice, but third time I'm out. I'm going to find me a new job. Why? Because that's a kingdom principle. If this isn't bringing forth any fruit in my life, then I've got to get rid of it. And why? Because I don't have time in my life to waste on things that aren't bringing forth fruit. Amen. I'm not going to engage my life in things that aren't producing any fruit in my life. Why? Because it's a kingdom principle, because God established it and it works in every area of our life. I believe it's important in relationships. Now, don't look at your spouse right now, okay? All right? You can't get rid of them that easy. But I do believe that this is a relationship principle. I don't have time to invest in relationships that there's no fruit coming out of that relationship. Fruit is not just that I'm getting something out of it. Fruit can be just, hey, that there is, you know, there's a return, right? When we have a conversation, I'm not the only one doing all the talking. You're engaging in conversation with me as well. I'm not the only one being kind, but you're being kind to me as well. Anybody ever been in a one-sided relationship where you're the only one being nice and the other person seems like their life objective to be a jerk? I don't have time for that. I got to cut that tree down. I got to move on to a different relationship. All right, again, if you're in a marriage, there's different rules that apply there, okay? We'll get to those rules in a little bit of time. But this kingdom principle, I don't have time to invest my life into relationships that aren't being fruitful. Amen? It's also important in our time investments. How many of you believe that? It's important in your time. You should be utilizing your time on things that there's fruit that's coming out of that. Sometimes that fruit is just that I'm getting renewed. All right, I'm gonna sit on the recliner for a little bit and just think, and I'm being renewed. Or I'm gonna go find a hammock and I'm gonna lay on that. And then what is the fruit that's coming out? I'm being renewed. Now, if you're doing that all the time, there might be a problem. All right, it's 24/7. I'm in my recliner. All right, that's not good. All right, with our time, we can't put our time into things that aren't fruitful. Now, maybe there may be a season in life when we're younger, we might be able to get by with that. But as we grow and responsibilities come, and we got to pay bills and those things come, you know what? We got to get out the recliner. They used to sing a song when I was in fifth grade. They taught us a song. I think Lazy Bones was the name of the song. Anybody learn that one? I'm the only one that knows that song. It's powerful to be the only person that knows that song. Something to do with the potatoes need, all right, I'm just going to leave that song. Look it up. The moral of the song was, the things that need to get done aren't going to get done by you sitting there. I summed it up for you. I believe, did somebody just ask me to sing it? That's not happening, all right, that's not happening. If I can't remember the words, I certainly won't remember the tune correctly. I believe, though, it was like a number one hit back in like the 20s or 30s. All right, Mom, you didn't say it, but yes, a minute ago when I asked. Now she's nodding her head. She knew I'd have her sing it. There we go. Go ahead. All right, there you see that? I'm not the only one. She knows it as well. Lazy Bones, Sleeping in the Sun, How You Ever Plan to Get Things Done. All right, so as we grow, as we get older, I can't invest my time into things that aren't producing fruit in my life. It's a kingdom principle. It's true in our financial investments. All right, if you're investing your finances in something and there's no return, I know there's some things we spend. I'm not talking about spending money. Sometimes we have to spend. We have to trade money to get a good something in return. I'm talking about an investment. If you went to the bank and said, you know what, I want to put my money into the bank so I can get in, I want to get a return on my money, and you go back, you know, 5 years from now and they give you the same amount back, you're not going to keep on doing that with your money, at least not if you're smart with your money. Because there should be an expectation that I'm going to invest in things that are fruitful, and if they're not, I'm getting rid of those and I'm moving my money somewhere else. I'm putting my time somewhere else. I'm putting my affection somewhere else, because I've got to place my time, my energy, my affection, my emotions, I've got to place them in things that there's fruitfulness that is being produced out of that. Amen. How do you believe that? All right. So first of all, I want to look at this parable in Luke chapter 13. In Luke 13:6, the Bible says the man that owns the vineyard, the garden, he owns this garden, and he comes to the vine dresser or the gardener, the keeper of the vineyard, and he says to him, he says, for 3 years I've been coming to this tree looking for fruit, and I found none. Now, the first thing I want to say is this. I don't think, whether it's relationships or time, probably primary relationships, I don't think we need to walk around with an axe in one hand and a torch in the other hand. Right, just I'm just waiting for the opportunity. Just look at me wrong, and I'm getting rid of that relationship. Right, just look at me the wrong way, and watch how quick I burn your tree to the ground. All right, that's not a healthy way to go into relationships. All right, so that's not what I'm talking about, because this keeper, this owner of the vineyard, has been patient. All right, the New Living Translation says verse 6 this way: a man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it, but he was always disappointed. This wasn't the first time he'd showed up to the tree looking for a fig. He had been there time and time and time again. Aren't you thankful that God is merciful? Amen. I just feel like in the Holy Ghost, there's some of you that even Sunday, the Holy Ghost walked up to your tree once again and looked up and down and said, is there any fruit on the tree? Amen, but I'm thankful Sunday wasn't the last time. He'll probably be back again this Sunday looking at you saying, is there any fruit on the tree? And I just want to encourage somebody, amen, while you're still in the mercy of God, amen, why don't you let God start doing a work in you rather than being obstinate to what God is trying to do? He came again and again to see if there was fruit on the tree, but he was always disappointed. Now, something that we need to look back upon, the very first phrase of Luke 13 and 6, the Bible says this, that the man had planted the tree there. All right, he had planted the tree there. Now, the house that we live in, we have a beautiful magnolia tree that grows we have a fence, and then on the outside of that fence, there's one magnolia tree that blooms every spring. I haven't looked out, is it blooming right now? So any day now, it's probably going to bloom, and those beautiful magnolia blossoms, I guess they would be called, are going to bloom on that tree. But you know what? I didn't plant that tree. It was already there. Somebody else planted that tree. I just moved in, and it was already there. Not only do we have a beautiful magnolia tree in our backyard, we also have a very rapidly expanding growth of bamboo in our backyard. I did not plant that bamboo. I don't know who planted that bamboo. For the first 4 years we lived there, I didn't know there was bamboo. But the last 2 or 3 years, I know there's bamboo because it's everywhere now. And it's rapidly. Probably next year my house will be bamboo. It's taken over everything. But I didn't plant the magnolia tree, and I didn't plant the bamboo. I just got what was already there. I can recall as a child, I think it was the house on Essex South, that there was a honeysuckle plant. It may have been Janet Lane. But I remember as a kid, one of the houses we lived in, there was a honeysuckle bush there. Now, if y'all haven't enjoyed honeysuckles, I'm just telling you, I have great memories of it. It's just a really, we would sit there for hours and just take them little things off and pull the little stem out and get that little bit of nectar. Man, I don't know. There's not much better. It's not a whole lot of it, but man, it's powerful. So we would, but we didn't plant those honeysuckles. They were already there when we moved in. When you plant something, however, right, when you just move in and somebody else planted it, it was done. You didn't really have anything to do with it. But when you plant something, you place it there with an intentionality, right? When you buy land or property, you get what's already there. But when you plant something, you're doing it with an intentionality and with expectation. That man went out and said, I'm going to plant a fig tree here. Why? Because I have an appetite for figs. Amen. There's something that I'm expecting is going to grow on that tree, and I want the fruit that's going to come off of that tree. This is important because this is a kingdom principle. There are some trees. You need to be patient with things that you planted. All right, that went over. I need my screaming child back again one more time. Amen. When we planted something, when we've intentionally gone out and we've sought something out, a relationship that is meaningful in our lives, amen, a relationship with God would be the primary thing. We need to be patient with that relationship. We need to be patient with it. Amen. Why? Because I planted that there. I put that in the ground because I had an expectation for that. And guess what? Just because you put the seed in the ground, it's not good. There's not going to be figs tomorrow. Is he all right? Is he okay? Do we need to pray right now? Is he all right? Okay, he's good. All right. So I put that in the ground. And so, sorry, Brother Rivera was going out and they were helping. I just want to make sure he was okay. Now, there are some things that we did not put in the ground. There are some things that you don't need to be patient with. Amen. There are some things that shouldn't be planted in your garden. There are some relationships that should, and you're praying, oh, I'm just going to be patient with that one. I want to just give that one time and see if it, no, you need to hurry up quickly and get rid of that plant. You need to get rid of that relationship. It shouldn't be growing in your garden. These relationships, these time wasters, these financial drains, we don't need to sit around and wait and see if they will be fruitful. What we need to do is remove them before they do become fruitful. Because if they grow up, what did he say about the wheat and the tares? Hey, they've already gotten there. Now you're going to have to just let them grow up together, because if you try to take them out now, you're going to get rid of some fruitfulness in your life. So what I say is get rid of the wheat before it starts growing. Get rid of those relationships before they get a hold of your heart. I'll say that again. Get rid of those relationships before they get a hold of your heart. You ever try to tell a teenager to break up with somebody that they're in love with? I can't. I love them. I mean, it'd be easier to move the Rock of Gibraltar than trying to get them, because their emotions are already engaged with them. Amen. What you need to do is say, you know what, God, if there's things growing in the garden that ought not be there, God, I don't need to be patient with those things. I need to get rid of them right now. I need to get rid of them right now. If there's mindsets, amen, if there's mindsets that you've allowed to grow in the garden, amen, that are contrary to the word of God, that are going to end up growing, amen, and being in opposition to the things of God, don't be patient with that. You need to go right now and get rid of that thing while you still can. Amen. But there are relationships, there are career moves, there are investments that we planted with intention of fruitfulness. So we need to, first of all, be patient, right? Not walking around with an axe and a gleam in our eye. Let me hear you say something wrong. Watch what happens to you. No, I planted that there. I prayed for that relationship. I prayed for God to bring them. And he did. God allowed that relationship to be planted in. It's a godly relationship. Amen. It's a right relationship. And so I can't just be quick to cut that thing down. I've got to be patient. The owner of the vineyard gave it 3 years. Amen. He was patient with it. He wasn't quick to cut it down. While we do need to be patient, there should also be expectation. How many of you believe expectations are good things? Expectations are healthy. Parents, you need to have expectations of your children. All right. Where's Cassie Ray? Cassie Ray is going to be my amen corner. Izzy. I told Izzy before church, he's my amen corner tonight. All right? Parents, you need to have, I think it was Harold Linder that many years ago said, the problem is not that we have too high of expectations for our teenagers, it's that we have too low of expectations for our children. We need to have high expectations for our young people. We need to let them know we expect you to be worshipers. We expect you to be in the Word of God. We expect you. We have high expectations for you. We're not going to lower those for you just because you're a teenager. We want there to be high expectations because greatness can only be accomplished in the presence of high expectations. Amen. There should be expectations. Yes, I need to be patient, but I'm being patient with expectation. I believe the scripture paints a very clear picture of expectation of fruitfulness in the kingdom. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, God expects things out of you. Listen, if you're looking for a God that has low expectations of you, if that's the kind of God you want to serve, is a God who has low, you just do whatever you want to do. I don't know about you. I don't want that kind of God. And that ain't the kind of God I read about in this book. The kind of God I read about has high expectations. He expects things about me. He tells me I was fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't want to live down to the standards of this world. I want to live up to the standards that God has for my life. Why? Again, because that's the only place excellence can be formed is in the presence of expectations. Matthew 7:19. This is the Bible. Every tree that does not bear forth good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it can bear more fruit. You hear that? Every tree that doesn't bear fruit, he takes it away. Isaiah 5:4, what more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And he goes on through the prophet Isaiah and says, now, please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. Because it didn't bring forth good grapes, I will take away its hedge and it will be burned. I will break down its wall and it shall be trampled down. Right? Again, I'm talking to you. This is how God has expectations of you. Amen. And yes, he's going to be patient with you as he's already, I believe, demonstrated in all of our lives. God has been patient. But I do that patience is not without expectation. God is still looking at you saying, yes, I'm merciful. Yes, I'm gracious. Yes, I'm slow to anger. But that doesn't mean I'm not looking for figs. I'm looking for fruitfulness in your life. And if you're not going to produce fruit, if there's not going to be fruit produced, I'm going to, sooner or later, that tree is going to be cut down. Matthew 21:18. Now in the morning, Jesus returned to the city. He was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, he cursed the fig tree. He said, no, let no fruit grow on you ever again. And immediately, he wasn't too merciful with that one. Immediately, the Bible says the fig tree withered away. And again, in this passage, in Luke 13, after the owner of the garden had come again and again and again and again over a three-year period of time, of expecting to find fruit and finding nothing. Here's what he says to the gardener. He says to the gardener, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? That means nothing to us in 2024. So what does cumbereth ground mean? New Living Translation says it this way. It's taking up space in the garden. It's taking up, something else could be growing there. So I want to tell you, we need to be careful about taking for granted our position in the kingdom of God. We need to be careful about just coming to church Sunday after Sunday and sitting in a chair and not engaging in the presence of God, because I believe this, again, is a kingdom principle that if you don't show forth praise, the Bible says if you don't praise him, the rocks are going to cry out. Amen. You got to be careful about coming and God being merciful over and over and over again. There is going to come a time, if you don't respond, that God is going to say, I'm going to let somebody else take your place. If you don't want to be in the kingdom, I'm going to replace you with somebody that does want to be. He says, cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. We can put something else there. The kingdom principle is that there should be an expectation of fruitfulness in the kingdom. Matthew 3:8, The Bible tells us here's some fruit that we should be bearing. It says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Again, what does that mean? It's an outward manifestation of the inward potential. So, in other words, if we say I've repented of my sins, then what should be happening? It should be fruit that lines up with that, right? It's what it says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. What my actions on the outside, if I say I've repented of my sins and then we walk out here and I cuss you out, that's not fruit in keeping with repentance. All right, if we walk out of here and I trip you, all right, that's not in keeping with repentance. Okay, if I walk out of here and cheat on my taxes, that's not in keeping with repentance. All right, then we could go down the list of all the other things that are there. All right, he says bear fruit. What's the first fruit that we should be bearing? Our lives should be demonstrating that we truly have repented. That internally, I repented of my sin. I asked God to forgive me. Does that mean we're never going to make mistakes? No, but it does mean that when people look at our lives, they should see a lifestyle that is bearing fruit, that I've repented of my sin, that I'm not living like the rest of this world, that I don't act like the rest of this world, that I don't talk like the rest. There's something different about me. And if I tell you that I've repented, but there's no fruit of it on the outside, I'm only fooling myself, because God knows. It should be outwardly evident that there have been changes inward. Here's some other fruit. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, smile. Smile. I know it's Wednesday night. Smile. Joy. What is that? It's an outward manifestation of the Spirit that's on the inside. The Spirit is producing joy, peace, amen, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. When you got the Holy Ghost, just like when you put that apple seed in the ground, in the DNA of that apple, there was that, whatever, if you put a Macintosh apple seed in the ground, then the fruit, the taste of that Macintosh apple manifest what was in the DNA and the seed in the ground. When you got the Holy Ghost, what was in the Holy Ghost should be manifest now on the limbs of your life. Amen. That there is love, that there is joy, there is peace, there is kindness, there is goodness, there's faithfulness, there's gentleness, there's self-control. Amen. What are those? Those are the fruit of the Spirit, and there should be an expectation that those fruit are going to grow in our lives. I believe God has that expectation of His church, that the fruit of the Spirit is living in our lives, and fruit that shows that we are living repentant lives should be evident in our lives. Amen. You shouldn't have to put a bumper sticker on your car that says, I go to church. They should be able to tell that you go to church. You can get a bumper sticker too if you want, but that's not the fruit. The fruit is there's outward manifestation. All right? So the 3 years of coming and looking for fruit, and he finally says to the vine dresser, cut it down. It's taking up space. And here's where I really want to focus for the last 45 minutes to an hour. Not really. Here's what the vine dresser says in response. That was nervous laughter just there. We didn't need Cassie Ray there. We got good nervous laughter from everybody. The vine dresser, the gardener, says back to the owner who had planted the tree, he says, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, you can cut it down. All right, here's what I'm not implying. I want to make sure, I'm going to state this several times, because I'm not implying that you walk into your spouse and say, you got 1 year to shape up. All right, you got 1 year. You heard Pastor say it tonight. I've been patient. I've given you 3 years. And you ain't got it right yet. So you got one more year. And at the end of that year, if things ain't where they need to be, you're out of here. That's not what I'm implying. Or walk into your boss. I'm not implying you need to walk into your boss tomorrow. Say you got 365 days. Either you get things right around here or I'm out of here. All right? That's probably not going to work out in your favor. I'm not saying that you need to do that. Rather, what I want us to do is look at the mindset of the gardener. Amen. I want us to think of this less as an ultimatum and more about a renewed focus. A renewed focus that, you know what, give me one more opportunity to produce fruitfulness in this area of my life. Amen. It's not about being an ultimatum. It's about saying, you know what? Maybe these last 3 years I've not been as focused as I need to be, but if you'll give me one more year, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that when you come back a year from now, there's fruit on the limbs of that fig tree. We can apply that. I want us first and foremost apply this in your walk with God. Amen. I believe as we read into this parable, I believe that there are some of us that have not had the focus in our walk with God, and we've wondered why is there no fruit. But I want to challenge somebody to get the mindset of this gardener and say, you know what, God, give me one more year. I'm going to get my focus back in the garden. I'm going to put my focus on the fig tree. I'm going to do the things that need to be done, and I believe a year from now, there will be fruit on the tree. Give me a year to dig it and dung it. Now, I know they got songs about can you dig it. I don't think there's any about the other one. To dig it is the Greek word skapto. And it means to turn up, to loosen. I heard you, Angelita. Or to remove earth. Turn up, loosen, or remove earth or other material, most often what is located below one's feet. So digging it is working with what is here. Dunging it is we're adding fertilizer and manure. We're going and we're adding things that are not here. So digging it is I'm going to work with what I've got. And dunging is going to add what I don't got right now. But either way, I'm going to work with what I do have, and I'm going to add what I don't have. So first of all, let's look at digging. Amen. Let's dig it together. All right, this is dealing with what is here. In every relationship, in your walk with God, you're in a current state. In your marriage, there's a current state. In your relationships with your children, there's a current state. In every relationship, in every circumstance in your life, there's a current status of things that you're going to have to make up in your mind. Either go ahead and cut it down, or I'm going to put my focus here. I'm going to deal with some things in this current state that I'm in. And digging it deals with two elements. Number one, tilling, T-I-L-L-I-N-G, tilling, which is the turning up and the loosening of the soil. That's one thing, the tilling of the soil, and secondly, the removing of things. Again, that's dealing with what is here. That Greek word skapto, the benefits of turning up the soil. I could have Brother Jones come, and he could probably tell you much more than I. Everything I'm about to tell you comes from internet research. Brother Jones could come and tell you from life experience. So Brother Jones, if I'm wrong on anything, you stand up and help me, all right? When you loosen the soil in your garden, all right, so that's what the servant said. He said, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to turn up the soil. I'm going to loosen the soil. Because over time, that soil gets compacted. He said, I'm going to loosen the soil up. I'm going to turn it up. I'm going to turn that soil over. We're going to till the ground. And the first benefit of doing this is it gives newly germinated roots a solid footing while helping nutrients like oxygen and water. They're able to now flow down to where the roots are. If you don't turn the soil up, amen, the water may flow, but it's never going to get to the roots. You've got to loosen some things up. Amen. So we can sit here and say, well, this is the state of things, and it's not going well. You might as well just cut this down. But at least there was a servant said that, no, don't cut it down yet. Give me a year to turn some things up, to let some oxygen get into this relationship. I'm going to give some space in my walk with God. Don't just cut this tree down. Give me a year to give some room for water to get to the roots so that things can begin to grow. It gives chances to old roots. It weren't new roots. It was old roots, but it was giving old roots a new chance. It was adding air back into the soil to encourage plant growth. It permits water, oxygen, other nutrients to, as I stated, to reach those roots easily. Turning up the soil will also disrupt some of the soil-borne larvae and insects that can emerge from. So when you turn up the soil, it gets rid of some of those things that if you don't get rid of them, they're going to grow up and they're going to eat the produce before it has a chance for it to make its way in onto your plate. those bugs that are in the soil. When you turn up the soil, it kills some things that otherwise are going to kill what you're trying to grow. Amen. That's what the servant was saying. Give me a year and give me a chance to dig down into the soil and deal with some of these things that have been eating the produce. Give me an opportunity to really focus on the situation that I'm dealing with and get rid of some of these things that have been invading my harvest. I've got, God, just give me one more year. Digging up the ground, tilling the soil also gives you the opportunity to cut up weeds while they're still young, which prevent them from establishing a stronghold in your garden. That's word for word off the internet. And I said, Lord, that must have been a preacher that wrote that article. All right, it gives you a chance when you turn that soil up. It gets a hold of those in the spring when you till that soil. It gets a hold of those weeds while they're still young and they don't yet have a stronghold in your garden. That's what that steward was saying. That's what that gardener was saying. Give me a year to deal with some things before they get a stronghold in my walk with God, before they get a stronghold in my marriage, before they get a stronghold in this area of my life. Give me an opportunity to deal with some things. We can apply this to our relationships. We can apply this to our investments of time and energy. Amen. You're putting your time into some things. Maybe you're exercising. You're doing something to help your health. Don't cut that tree down. Give us some time. All right, focus. What are the things that keep undermining what I'm trying to accomplish here? And focus on those things. And don't just give up, in other words, is what I'm saying. Don't just give up. I know right now you might be dealing with fruitfulness, but you planted that tree for a reason. There's a reason that you put that tree in the ground, because there was something you expected to come out of the ground. Now don't just give up on it. Child of God, you planted your walk with God at some point for a reason. It may have been 10 years ago, it may have been 30 years ago, but at some point you walked down to an altar and you repented of your sin, you climbed in a tank and they baptized you in Jesus' name. Amen. You planted that thing for a reason. Don't just give up on it now. Dig it. Somebody today, you need to make a covenant. Give it 1 year. Not just a year, well, I'm going to just give it time and see what. No, not just see what happens where you invest in the soil. Where you turn up some things and you say, you know what, it's been a while since I got out of bed a little bit early and just sat in the presence of God. Most of you that are thinking about cutting off your relationship with God, I guarantee you it's been a while since you really meditated on the Word of God. Most of you where there's real strife in your marriage, I promise you it's probably been a while since you guys just sat down and just held hands and looked one another in the eyes and said, hey, let me tell you what I love about you. Amen. You need to get some soil back in the earth. You need to make it easier for the water to get to the roots. Amen. Before you cut the tree down, why don't you dig it? Why don't you give it 1 year? Why don't you give it 1 year? Again, not just, oh, well, let's just sit back and see what happens. No, no, no. I'm going to invest. I'm going to give it one. Pray every day for 1 year and see if you're still ready to walk away from God. Where's Cassie Ray? Open your Bible and meditate on the Word of God. Get one verse a day and meditate on that Word and let that Word get down into the soil of your heart and see if a year from now your relationship with God, if there aren't some figs on the tree. But you can't just stand back and look at the tree and say, let's see what happens. You've got to say, no, I'm going to dig it. I'm going to unearth some things. I'm going to get rid of some things. There's some larvae hiding in the soil that I'm going to turn over the soil and get rid of some things. Take a look at those things that are presently there. Are you really giving them a chance to live? Well, I haven't felt God's presence in a while. Are you giving yourself a chance? Well, I come to church every Sunday. Well, guess what? That pole right there comes to church every Sunday too. And I ain't seen that joker cry yet. And if it does, I'm out of here. Amen? Just coming to church is not, you understand, have you really given God a chance? Have you dug up your relationship with God lately? Have you given some focus, time, and attention to your relationship? Again, we can apply this to every relationship. I'm talking to the ones you planted. I'm not talking about the magnolia tree that was already there. I'm talking about the things you planted. I don't know about you, but my dad and mom did not arrange my marriage with Valerie. If they would have, I'd have been cool with it. I was like, hey, good job, dad and mom. You got that one. But I chose to marry her. I think she chose to marry me. She chose to marry me. What do I mean? I planted that tree there. That wasn't done by accident. That relationship means something. Before I just throw that relationship away, I think it deserves at least a year for me to dig the ground up a little bit and say, you know what, let's give a chance for some oxygen to get back to these roots. Hey, everybody in this church right now, amen, God planted you in this church. You're here for a reason. Amen. Before you walk out the door and leave, I'm asking you, give it 1 year. I'm asking you to give it a year. I'm asking you to unearth some things. Dig up the soil before you just walk away and cut down the tree. I'm asking you, dig up in the soil again. Amen. Get rid of some things that have been in the soil that are robbing you of your joy and your peace. So that's the first part of digging, is it's unearthing the soil. It's getting rid of those weeds while they're still young. But the servant said, you know what, I'm gonna turn over the soil. I'm going to loosen it. But the second thing he said, I'm going to remove some things. I'm going to get rid of some things. I recognize there's some things, as I start digging through this soil, there's some rocks over here. There's some thorns over there. There's some things that have worked their way into this soil that are not conducive for this fig tree to grow. Listen, here's the deal. The servant was saying, the last 3 years, I've not really been focused on this tree. But give me 1 year to really focus on this tree, because here's what happens. When we don't focus on certain relationships, stuff works its way into the soil. Amen? When we're not focused on our relationship with God, other things work their way in. The Bible calls them the tares, the stones. They work their way in. Before we know it, we don't even have a heart for the things of God. It's not that we don't love God, but it's that we've allowed some things to get in the way that there's no fruit on the tree. But I want to ask you, before you just give up, why don't you dig through that soil and say, you know what, that doesn't belong there, and how did that get in here? I'm going to get rid of all these things that are impeding me. Maybe it takes you taking this device and saying, I'm going to put, wasn't planning on that. That sound was not good. I'll look at it later. Lord was like, yep, you really need to get rid of that. I don't know about you, but if I try to pray in the morning and that thing is sitting next to me, every distraction in the world is going to show up. Text messages are going to show up. Emails are going to show up. Hey, man, it's going to start dinging and lighting up and vibrating, all those things. Hey, maybe you need to remove some things and say, you know what, for the next 15 minutes, it's just me and you, God. I'm going to get rid of some distractions. I'm going to get rid of some things. In my marriage, she could probably tell me some of the things that need, might be the same thing I just threw. But if I really want that relationship to work, it's not just about turning over the soil, it's about removing. What are the things that are keeping our relationship from being healthy? What are the distractions that are keeping us away from our relationship being healthy? It applies in every area of our life. It's a kingdom principle. Memories, old memories, not the good ones. Past. I need to remove that. Amen. That tree ain't gonna grow if that past failure is all every time. All right, anyway. Failed expectations, disappointments, habits that work their way into my life. God, I gotta remove those things. If this tree is gonna bring forth fruit, give me a year to remove some things. All right, if I hope you're not getting out of this, I'm asking you to just give things one more year the way they have been. That's the opposite of what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to give it 1 year of intentional focus on this thing growing. Intentional focus, not like you have before, but God renewed. God, I'm going to give it everything I've got. I'm going to put all my energy into it. I'm going to put all my focus into it. I'm going to give it everything I've got. And at the end of this year, if there's still nothing growing, then God, you can cut it down. But I just got a feeling if you would dig a little bit, amen, if you would get rid of a few things, I think at the end of the year, you would walk back out in the garden and there would be figs on the tree. There would be fruit that would be growing. Why? Because you put a focus in those areas. Now, I know I've touched on marriage, and I know how this goes. Somebody's doing that right now. Yeah, you hear that? Pastor's talking to you right now. Let me tell you who has to do this for a marriage to work. Both of you. One-sided marriages don't work. Amen? Where one person is giving it everything they got and the other person is not, it ain't going to work. It's going to take both of you. I don't care what the past has looked like. I don't care how bad you've been hurt. I don't care how bad you've been disappointed. I'm asking you, give it 1 year. Not just, again, not 1 year of standing back saying, let's see what happens. I'm talking about a year of getting down in the soil. I'm talking about a year of up unearthing some dirt. I'm talking about a year of getting some stones and throwing them out of your garden. A year of giving it everything you've got. And then the servant said, okay, now let me dung it. I'm not going to go into detail. You know what that is. Don't get hung up on the fertilizer aspect. I understand. But let's focus on the purpose of what the fertilizer was about. The vine dresser was saying, I'm going to add whatever is necessary for this tree to grow. I'm going to get rid of all the things that would keep it from growing, and I'm going to add all the things that might be necessary for this to grow. Amen. If I know what your love language is, it's not going to become my goal in life to avoid your love. Oh, you like quality time? Well, then I'm not spending any time with you. That ain't it. It's, hey, if your love language is words of affirmation, girl, I'm about to pour out words of affirmation. I'm going to read the Song of Solomon to you 3 times a year. I'm not going to read it in front of you all, but it is in the Bible, by the way, if you didn't know that. I'm going to pour words of affirmation on you. Amen. I'm going to what you need, what we need to add to this to give this relationship an opportunity to grow. That's what the fertilizer was. It was him saying, this is missing right now, but I'm going to go get it so I can give this relationship a chance to grow. Some of you got to get worship back. If your relationship with God is going to grow, you've got to go get some fertilizer. You've got to bring something with you. You can't just work with what you've got. You've got to add some things that you don't have right now. For my walk with God to be fruitful. Only you know the status of your walk with God right now. But if there's some things that aren't there that you got to go get to give that tree a chance to grow, you might need to go get some spiritual disciplines and bring them back. I'm going to add prayer. I know right now I'm not going to ask. Ain't nobody going to willingly raise your hand and say, I don't pray. All right? And I'm not going to ask you to say that. But you know. I'm going to tell you, that tree will not grow without prayer. Your relationship with God, if you're struggling in your walk with God, you're like, I don't understand why. Well, trees don't grow without fertilizer. Walks with God do not grow without prayer. So you're going to have to go get you some prayer. It may start off 5 minutes in the morning. It may start off 10 minutes in the morning. It may start off 15 minutes in the morning. Amen. But at least you're starting somewhere. And as you start adding that fertilizer to the tree, what you're doing is you're giving that tree. Add a fast day. I don't know if I could do that. Add one a month to start with. Add one a year if you got to start there. Just add something. Add some things to that. You got to bring some things that aren't there. You got to add them. Add a time of meditating upon the Word of God where you just read the Word and you just sit back and let it marinate, get down into your soul and into your spirit. You let that Word just get down into your soul and spirit. Amen. You got to add some things. If you just do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've already got. And so the servant said, give me one more year. This year, though, is going to be different. I'm not just going to treat this tree like every other tree in the garden. This tree means something. We planted this tree here. Amen? So I'm going to put focus, special attention. When we look at the plea of the vine dresser in the New Living Translation says it this way, I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. It was in the mission. He was saying, you know what? I know you came back and you're frustrated. The last 3 years, there's not been anything. And if I got to be honest, I could have done more than I've been doing. I could have, but this next year, I'm going to do everything I can. I believe this. I believe If you pray 15 minutes a day, I promise you, some of you right now that are spiritually bankrupt, you cannot pray 15 minutes a day and stay spiritually bankrupt. It is impossible. The reason some of you are spiritually bankrupt right now is because the only time you pray is the few minutes before church starts on Sunday or Wednesday, if that even. Okay, and if that's what you want to continue to do, you might as well cut the tree down now because it's going to die sooner or later. But if we could make up our mind tonight in our relationship with God, in our marriages, in whatever relationship you want to, and you say, okay, God, I'm going to give it 1 year, not just 1 year of me standing back saying, let's see what happens, but 1 year of me digging the earth up and me dunging it, and let's see after 1 year of me doing everything I can to make sure this tree grows, let's see what happens in the next year. Stand with me. It's a kingdom principle. If it doesn't bear fruit, get rid of it. But there's some things that we've planted. Amen? If I connect with somebody in the community and I walk up to them and I'm like, hey, how you doing? They're like, man, shut up, get out of my face. Okay, I'm moving on to the next relationship. But that lady right there, that ain't just another relationship. That's the most important relationship in my world. On this planet outside of Jesus Christ. I'm not just giving up on that one. Amen? My relationship with God is the most important relationship of my life. And there have been times when I could say like that vine dresser, you know what, I haven't been focused on it like I should be. I've allowed some other things to get in there. I've not been as focused as I should be. But what I'm asking us tonight is, let's get the important relationships. Let's start there, the important relationships. First of all, being our relationship with God. Next, if you're married, it's your relationship with your spouse. Okay, not your job, it's your spouse next. Amen? Your relationship with your church should come in there. Obviously, if you're parents, your relationship with your children. All right? Those are the ones you planted. You intentionally made a decision. These are the cornerstone relationships in my life. So I just want to ask you right now, how's that tree doing? How are those trees doing? How's your relationship with God? How's your relationship with your spouse? How's your relationship with your children? How's your relationship with your church? All right, you don't have to answer, Cassie Ray. I want us to bow our heads together right now. I want us to make a covenant with God. God, give me 1 year. Listen, if a gardener could do that for a tree, how much more should we be willing to do that for the most important relationships in our life? Give me 1 year. Give me, what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? If it don't grow, okay, at the end of the year? Again, I'm not talking about an ultimatum. I'm talking about a mindset that says, I'm going to give this thing everything I've got. I'm going to give it everything I've got. Over this next year, I'm going to give this relationship everything that I have got. I'm going to reach into that soil and all the rocks and stones that have made their way in. I'm throwing them out of the garden. Amen. I'm going to go get me some fertilizer, some things that are missing in my marriage. I'm going to bring them in and add them in my walk with God. I'm going to add them in. Give me 1 more year. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I pray tonight. God, where we are looking at fruitlessness in our lives, I pray, God, let us have the mindset of that gardener. Say, you know what, there's some things I planted. These aren't just ordinary, average relationships. These are important. Listen, moms and dads, you got children that ain't living for God right now. I'm asking you, give it 1 year where you pray every day for that child. Not just, now I lay me down to sleep, God touch my baby. No, I'm talking about intercession. Give it 1 year where every day you pray for them. Amen. You pray inconvenient prayers. You travail in the whole. Give it 1 year and see what God can do. At the end of that year, if they still ain't come back, then okay. But give it 1 year where you can truly say, I did everything that I could. I fought for them with every ounce of energy I had. I fought for that relationship with all the strength that I poured love on them as much as I possibly could. 1 year, you give it 1 year and see what God can do. You know what, I have a feeling at the end of that year, the owner of that vineyard came back and there were figs on that tree. That's what I think happened. We don't know the end of the story, but that's what I think. That's what happened, is that gardener came back, or rather that landowner came back, and there were figs on that tree. Why? Because somebody fought and said, give me 1 year. Hallelujah. Whatever those relationships are right now, I just want you to lift your hands toward heaven and give them to God. I want you to make a covenant between you and God. First, listen, if your relationship with God ain't right, if your relationship with God ain't where it needs to be, then you're trying to do things you can't do. If you're trying to make your marriage right without God in the middle of it, then you're going to wear yourself out. You better get your walk with God right first. And then let those other relationships flow out of that walk. Come on, you can get up 15 minutes earlier and sit there and spend a little bit of time. And come on, some of you, being honest with yourselves. Are you spending any time with God? Just be honest with yourself. Are you even meditating on His Word? How can you possibly grow any fruit if you're not spending any time in His presence? You can't. So just give it 1 year. What do you have to lose? Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that there would come fruitfulness in this church. First and foremost in our relationships with you. God, I'm going to give it 1 year. God, give me one more year. Give me one more year, Lord, to put my relationship with you at the center of my focus. Lord, if I lose everything else in my life, but God, if my relationship with you is restored, then I've gained everything. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? God, help me, Lord. I'm not going to come to church empty-handed. I'm bringing something. I'm going to bring worship. I'm going to bring praise. I'm going to add some things. There's some things that I'm missing right now, but I'm going to go get it. I'm going to dung it. I'm going to bring some things and add them. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I give this relationship a chance to live and bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder, could you pray for your neighbor right now? Can you dig it? Can you dig for a year? Can you?
Sometimes it is easy to start on your destination without knowing the exact path that it takes to get there. To get to our destination, we need to follow the one who knows our predestined path. Be sure to subscribe and watch us. Also, visit us at www.livinghopemd.com.
I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait.